Then go on and go for it, Eddie said. Let's boogie. They crowded close behind Roland. Eddie was once more holding Susanna on his hip, and Jake had picked Oi up. The bumbler was panting through his usual cheery grin, and inside their gold rings, his eyes were as bright as polished onyx. What do we do if it's locked, was how Jake meant to finish. But before he could, Roland turned the knob with his right hand, he had his remaining gun in the left, and pulled the door open. Behind the wall, the machinery cycled up a notch, the sound of it growing almost desperate. Jake thought he could smell something hot, burning insulation, maybe. He was just telling himself to stop imagining things when a number of overhead fans started up. They were as loud as taxiing fighter airplanes in a World War II movie, and they all jumped. Susanna actually put a hand on her head, as if to shield it from falling objects. Come on, Roland snapped. Quick! He stepped through without a backward look. During the brief moment when he was halfway through, he seemed to be broken into two pieces. Beyond the gunslinger, Jake could see a vast and gloomy room, much bigger than the staging area, and silvery crisscrossing lines that looked like dashes of pure light. Go on, Jake, Susanna said. You next. Jake took a deep breath and stepped through. There was no riptide, such as they'd experienced in the Cave of Voices, and no jangling chimes. No sense of going toe-dash, not even for a moment. Instead, there was a horrid feeling of being turned inside out, and he was attacked by the most violent nausea he had ever known. He stepped downward, and his knee buckled. A moment later, he was on both knees. Oi spilled out of his arms. Jake barely noticed. He began to retch. Roland was on all fours next to him, doing the same. From somewhere came steady, low chugging sounds, the persistent ding, 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 ding of a bell, and an echoing, amplified voice.